So, first of all, shalom everyone. Thank you for coming. You can take a seat if you want. You can stand if you want also, but I feel bad. Okay. I want to give a short little hakdama to the shir, which at first it sounds like a random hakdama, just like a little whatever, but it's actually very related to what we're going to be learning together. So, at the end, maybe we'll go back to the hakdama and we'll understand a little bit more. What I want to learn together now is maybe a little bit deeper or more esoteric than what we're used to learning in our day-to-day in the yeshiva. And I think sometimes we spend a lot of time learning what to do, being in halacha, which it's very important, you have to know. And also even in Musar and Hashkafa, like we have chooses that like we should be learning more. But sometimes it's also important to like take a step back and just try to appreciate like what is Torah? What is the purpose of it? What is the purpose of the world? What is the and sometimes that it's important to focus on the what, but sometimes taking a step back and like going a little bit deeper, a little bit inside, and understanding on a little bit of a deeper level what's going on in the world, what's going on in the Torah, it kind of that can enlighten and give life to what we're doing all day and not just the what. So that's just a little hakdama, that this is a little bit like it's not such a practical shir what I'm about to say over, like you're not going to walk away like now I have to do this or now I, but like it, the practicalness of the shir is that like understanding things a little bit deeper just is an inspiration in and of itself. Okay, so let's begin at the very beginning, source one, the very beginning, Bereishis. Okay, the Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis tells us, Taninan Ba'asara Maimaros Nivra Ha'olam, that the world was created with 10 Maimaros. Okay, that word is going to be important, Maimaros. We're going to contrast it to something else. The world was created with 10 Maimaros, the 10 utterances which Hashem used to create the world. Ve'elu Hain, and then the Medrash continues, Bereishis Ruach Elokim, Vayomer Elokim Yior, Vayomer Elokim Yerakia, Vayomer, right? And every time Hashem opens his mouth, Kaviyachol, he's not actually opening his mouth, but I think it's a mashal, which is expression, right? Hashem expresses himself, and we express ourselves through speech. Hashem expresses himself through these Maimaros. Every time Hashem Kaviyachol opens his mouth, he is revealing himself more and more, and that was the sequence, that was the creation of the world. Okay? It's interesting, this is just agav, that the first Maimar is in the Medrash that we have here is Bereishit. But that's not Vayomer Elokim Yior. But Chazal also say that Bereishit itself was a certain revelation even before speech was brought into the world, which is just something very fascinating. So 10 Maimaros Shebo Nivra Hashem Asa Olam. Okay, fast forward a few hundred years later to Shmos, and the Psukim over here in Shmos Lamed Dalet, they describe what happened at Har Sinai. Vayhi Sham Im Hashem, that Moshe stood with Hashem, and the Torah refers to the right at the end of the pasuk. Vayichtov Al Haluchos at Divrei Habris, Hashem wrote on the Luchos, and what did He write on the Luchos? Aseres Hadivarim. Okay, Hashem gave over the Aseres Hadivarim. It's interesting, I'm not sure, maybe there's diktuk here, I meant to ask for Benersh today, he wasn't here anymore. I'm not exactly sure why we refer to it as Aseres HaDibros, when the Torah refers to it as Aseres HaDivarim. Okay? But either way, we have the Aseres Maimaros, where the world was created, and the Aseres Divarim, through which Hashem gave us the Torah. So already we could be Medayik, right? If we're being Medayik, we have 10 and 10, but one is Amira. What does Amira mean? To say, right? Some sort of speech. And we have the Dibros. What does Dibros mean? Also, some form of speech, to speak. So we have to understand what the difference is between the Aseres Maimaros and the Aseres HaDibros. Also, if you want to take a seat, I feel bad. Okay. So the Medrash Rabbah, source number 3, which we're not going to do inside, already connects this idea of the Aseres Mamaros with the Aseres Hadibros. And in the Medrash it learns up that just like the Aseres Mamaros, there's somehow a connection to the Aseres Hadibros. I don't know if we ever thought about this, but it's a very fascinating thing. There's Aseres Mamaros and Aseres Hadibros. The Chidushei Arim, that was the leader of Ger Chassid. You're a Ger Chassid? A little? Okay, you come from Ger Chassidim. Okay, so your grandfather, or actually really whose grandfather was the Sfas Emes. I'm sure you've all heard of the Sfas Emes. So this was the Sfas Emes' grandfather, and we'll learn some Sfas Emes' and we'll see how this idea continued on through the generations. The first place that really picks up on this idea of this interplay between the Aseres HaMamaros and the Aseres HaDibros is the Chidushei Arim, and he's going to help us understand a little bit what this means, that there are Aseres HaMamaros and Aseres HaDibros. What's the connection? What is the link? Anyone want to throw something? Like, why am I linking the two? Anyone want to throw anything out there? Yeah?
Torah Shabbat Pet, Torah Shabbat
Torah Shabbat Pet. Oh, that's fascinating. Well, they're both... okay, interesting. Right, because the Aseres HaDibros, you want to say, is... Okay, that's very interesting. I never thought about that. After the shiur, I'm going to try to see how that fits in together. Fine. So the Chidushei Arim, before we even get into the differences, what's the connection? He helps us understand the connection. Right, he says, in source number 4, V'ga'alti eschem, I'm going to redeem you, v'shfatim gedolim, and I'm going to have makos, the great miracles, v'lakachti eschem li la'am, and then I'm going to take you as a nation, and that's talking about Har Sinai. Al yidei shfatim gedolim, through the shfatim gedolim, which is the makos, ba'im l'lakachti eschem li la'am, through the makos, we come to Maimon Har Sinai. Perush, what does this mean? Sh'al yidei asara ma'maros, nivra ha'olam. The world was created with 10 utterances. V'al-yidei eser makos nasa me'asara ma'maros asaras hadibros. Okay, that's a very key line to understanding everything that's going to happen from now on. Through the asaras ma'maros, then we the process began with the asaras hamakos, and the asaras hamakos flipped the asaras ma'maros into asaras hadibros. Right, I'll read it again. Al-yidei eser ma'maros nivra olam, v'al-yidei eser makos, through the 10 makos, Nasa me'asara ma'maros asaras hadibros. That we somehow the Aseres Ma'maros that the world was created morphed into the Aseres HaDibros. Why? Ki al yidei asar ma'maros nikar koach Hashem yisparach ba'abira ba'habriya ubateva ha'olam va'al yidei ha'makos ha'marim she'Hashem yisparach mishanes ha'teva kiratzono nasa lehisgalus elokis al har Sinai. I think what the Chidushei Arim is pointing out in this line is, what is the connection between the Ma'amaros and the Dibros, and also the Makos, which he throws in, which we're not going to focus on now, but there's an awesome piece from the Or Gedaliyahu how he explains how every Maka, like the second, according to him, the second Mimer the second Mimer is that Hashem created light, and that's connected the second to last Maka, which is darkness. And Bereshis, which is Hashem saying that we're His firstborn, we're His Bereshis, is connected the tenth Maka, which is Maka Bechoros. And he goes through all the Makos and explains how they correspond to the Maimaros. But we're going to just focus on the Dibros and the Maimaros right now. But what's the Chidushei Arim telling us? What's the connection? What's the link between Maimar and Dibur? So I think what he's saying is it's His Galus Elokis. Both Ma'amaros and both Dibros are ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals Himself to the world. Right? I think it's pashut. We can look at nature and see the sunset and see the tree and see, right, the most fascinating complex part of nature is the human body, and we could look at these nature and we see a revelation of God. We see godliness in this world. We see Hashem speaking to us through nature. That's one type of revelation, and that's why it's called ma'amar. Right, speech is a way we express ourselves. So, the nature is a way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses Himself. But says the Chidushei Arim, there's another way HaKadosh Baruch Hu expresses Himself. How else does HaKadosh Baruch Hu express Himself? Through the Torah. Through not Mimer, but through Dibur. And that's expressed through Torah. Okay? Torah is also a Pashut. It's like Hashem revealing Hashem speaking to us. Hashem revealing his essence. Hashem revealing his thoughts to us. Right? We learn Torah, and we're learning the word of Hashem. We're learning the Dibros of Hashem, the speech of Hashem. So both the Ma'amaros and both the Dibros are revelations of God in this world. But now, what I want to do, now that we understand how they both are revelations of God in this world, I want to go one step further and focus on what the difference is between the two. So, we'll start with a piece from Pinchas Friedman. I had the schuss to learn with Adam this week. Schuss is both of ours. And he describes a conversation. We learned it. It was the Kutzker's Yuritzeit this week. And he describes a conversation that goes, and we have a great-grandson of the Kutzker sitting with us right now. Okay, Anacol, exactly. That's the way you should say. Great-grandson. What is that? Okay, so he describes a conversation that happened between Rav Simcha Bonim of Pashiska, who was the Rebbe of the Kutzker Rebbe, and a back-and-forth that took place. Before we get to the conversation, we need a little background. Source number 5. It's from the Shvilei Pinchas of Pinchas Friedman. He's the Belzer Rosh Kolel, living in Kiryat Belz in Yerushalayim. And he has beautiful svarim. Source number 5. He writes, "B'derech HaMelech Neilech Leve'er B'zeh Masha Niskalah Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael B'sham Matan Tor B'Giluim Gedolim Le'inei Kol Kemo Shekasu V'ayir Hashem Al Har Sinai Al Rosh Ahar." He says, we have to understand, why was there this great, grand, you know, smoke and lights revelation of God at Har Sinai, that like Hashem like came down and revealed Himself, and there was blasts of shofar and a light show and a smoke show, and it describes Vayanu Vayamdu Merachok, the nation trembled and they stood. But why was that necessary? So how can we understand this? Shalif Neimat in Torah Lohaya Efshar Lavola Kar Mitzias Hashem. Ki'im b'derech hakira milamata lemala. So before Matan Torah, how would someone come to Hashem? How would a person in this world, before pre-Matan Torah, before the Torah was given, how would he connect to Hashem? So he describes it as, he calls it, b'derech hakira milamata lemala. Through hakira, going from the bottom up. A man would have to work through hakira, which I think, right, and he'll explain it more, Chakira means looking in nature, and looking in science, and looking in philosophy, and working your way from the bottom up. Oh, I see a plant. Oh, what gives life to the plant? It must be a sun. And what gives life to the sun? Oh, there must be an administering angel on top of the sun. And what's on top of the sun? Oh, it must be, right, that's a simple way of describing. But also, I think philosophy would, you know, if we look at the early philosophers, what were they doing? They were trying to prove God through Derech Chakira. So you have to go bottom up to connect to Hashem. This Zed Garam Shishaku Yisrael b'Mitzrayim b'Memtet Shari Tuma La'avod Avodah Zar L'Tzle B'Chor HaMazalos. So he said the problem with this was when you have to work from the bottom up, sometimes you get stuck and you worship, right? The Jews in Mitzrayim, they worship the Tzle, the B'Chor HaMazalos, the leader of the Mazalos, because they saw the sun and they're like, oh, something must lead the sun. Oh, what leads the sun? It must be mazalos. Whatever, right? We don't understand these things so much. And what leads the mazalos? Oh, there must be a head mazal which leads the world. And they kind of got stuck and like didn't go one step further towards Hashem. So he says that's the danger going from the bottom up. Lachain, because of that danger, niskala kodesh baruch hu leina yisrael b'sham matan tori b'giluyim gedolim. Because of that danger going from the bottom up, that is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to reveal himself at Har Sinai from the way he did, and he said, it's no longer from the bottom up time. Instead of you trying to figure it out from going, you know, all your hakiros and going lamata lamala, I'm going down to you. And now, I'm going to reveal myself mi lamala lamata. I'm going to come down towards you. Because of that danger of the other way of connecting to Hashem. So we have two paradigms, right? Turning over to page 2. We have mi lamata lamala, which I think is through nature, and I'll also throw in philosophy, but you know, through nature, through the physical world, finding Hashem. And then we have mi lamala lamata, which is matan Torah, through the Torah. Okay, me'ata yiftach lanu pesach kekudosh amata lahavin siach sarfei kodesh. Now we can understand the deep conversation that went on. Ki shal rav bonim es harav hakadosh mikotsk. Rav Simcha Bonim asked the Kotzker Rebbe, me'heichan lakach yisori yushal olav odas Hashem. Rabbanim, right, imagine this conversation. We have a masorah of this conversation. Just imagine it going down. The Rabbanim turns to the Kotzker Rebbe. He says, what's your inspiration? How do you do it, man? Like, where... And the Kotzker probably said, don't call me man. Like, I don't know if you know anything about the... Right, okay. But, right, he said, what's your inspiration? Where do you get inspiration? Hey Shivlo, where it's underlined in the second line, Mimikra shekosuv su'um marom einechem ura'um mi bara ela. What did the Kotzker answer? What's my inspiration? It's a pasuk. Su'um marom einechem, lift up your eyes, ura'um mi bara ela, and look at the world, look at creation, look at nature, and see who created the world. And that's why I get, that's how I get inspiration. Skipping to the next paragraph where it's underlined, Al-Kach Amar lo Rabbi Rabbanim. Rabbanim answered the Kotzker. Halomi zayachol kol adam likach isarus afilu einu yehudi. From nature, from su'u merom einechem, he said anyone could get inspiration. Right? We know people. You go on the internet right now and type an inspiring sunset. You'll find, you know, millions of hits because everyone gets inspired from a beautiful sunset. It's awesome. And the great mountain lands, whatever it is, the nature is inspiring. The human body is inspiring. There's a lot in nature that's really inspiring. Halo mizeh yachol kol adam likachi sorus afilu eino yehudi. But even a non-Jew could get inspiration from there. V'his orus ha-yehudi tzricha liyos mi'yitzias Mitzrayim. But the his orus of a Jew has to be from Yitzias Mitzrayim. And Rav Pinchas Friedman says, Yitzias Mitzrayim, that's included in Matan Torah. And what does he explain? He explains the difference between these two is because there's a danger that we just described. If you work from the bottom up, if you work and you try to find Hashem in nature, you might get stuck. And I think L'maisa, this is something we kind of like, I connect to this idea, you know, some people that they're too stuck in philosophy, they're too stuck in science, and it's like, oh my God, they're dinosaurs, I can't believe in God anymore. Because they're trying to find Hashem in science, and the sun, you know, the sunset is beautiful, but sometimes you get stuck when you're working from the bottom up. Therefore, Hashem had to come to us through the Torah from the top down and say, there's another way to connect to me. There's another revelation of God in this world. And that's the Torah. So Rav Pinchas Friedman says, that's what Rabbanim was answering the Kotzker. He's saying, it's too damn, maybe you're the Kotzker Rebbe, maybe you can go from the bottom up. But for the rest of the people, for the Hamon Am, it's not possible. And they need to take their inspiration from the Torah, which is Hashem coming to us top down and revealing Himself in that direction. So, Tchazer, we have the Ma'amaros, which Hashem created the world, which we'll call nature, Hashem's revelation through nature. And we have the Dibros, which Hashem, which is the Ten Commandments, Torah, we'll call it, right? And we said they're both revelations of God. That's what we saw in the Chiddush Erim. But now, we see from Pinchas Friedman, based on this conversation between the Kotzker and Rav Simcha Bonim, that there might be a danger finding Hashem through nature that we avoid as Jews, which having the that had the opportunity to find Hashem through Torah. In addition to a danger, right? According to this, there are two ways. And one way is more dangerous, but they're both ways of connecting to Hashem. We continue to source 6 from Rav Soloveitchik in Lonely Man of Faith. It's not just that finding Hashem through nature is dangerous and you might get stuck, and therefore you have to find Hashem through Torah. But Rav Soloveitchik says, finding Hashem in nature is inadequate. It doesn't do the job. It's not the be all end all experience. And the Rav, as he often does, he speaks through experiences. He tells us like, oh, you have to jump into like the experience that the Rav is describing to really understand what he's saying. We'll read through this piece quickly from the Rav. But keep in mind these two different paradigms of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nature and Matan Torah. Just one more introduction before we read the Rav. Sometimes you need this with the Rav's words. Cosmos is what the Rav is calling nature, okay? And covenant is a bris. That's what HaKadosh Baruch, that's what the Rav is calling Matan Torah, the covenant. Okay, that will help us understand a little bit. Even though, as we said before, the man of faith is provoked, like Adam the first, by the cosmos about which he is inquisitive. Right. So, man of faith, he likes the cosmos. He likes the sunset, the sunrise. The covenant, not the cosmos, provides him with the answers to his questions. Okay, so he's already saying the end, but now he's going to explain why. The covenantal confrontation is indispensable for the man of faith. In his longing for God, he is many a time disenchanted with the cosmic revelation and lives through moments of despair, right? The revelation through nature, through the cosmos, is not enough. Naturally, he's inspired by the great joy experience when he gets a glimpse of the truly real, hiding behind the magnificent cosmic facade, right? You get inspired when you see a beautiful sunset or a beautiful tree. However, he is also tormented by the stress and exasperation felt when the truly real seems to disappear from the cosmic scene. What does the Rav say? You see, you look at a sunset and you're inspired, and like you feel God, but like God kind of like this, you almost don't feel, sometimes you don't feel God in nature. He kind of disappears from nature. Of course, God speaks through his works. This is where it's underlined. Hashamayim misaprim kavod el. Right, the Pasuk in Tehillim says that the heavens, they declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Yet, let me ask you, what kind of tales do the heavens tell? Is it a personal tale addressed to someone, or is it a tale which is not intended for any audience? Right, when Hashem talks through sunset, Hashem talks through photosynthesis, or through the pumping of the heart, when Hashem talks in that way, is it Hashem speaking to you on a personal level? Or is it just a tale which is not intended for any audience? If you listen, listen. If you don't listen, you don't listen. Right? You could look at the sunset and you could not see God also. Do the heavens sing the glory of the Creator without troubling themselves to find out whether or not someone is listening to the great song? Are they really interested in man, the listener? I believe that the answer to the question is obvious. If the tale of the heavens were a personal one addressed to man, then there would be no need for another encounter with God. If you could get a personal connection to Hashem just through looking at the sunset and just through looking at trees, if you could have a personal relationship with Hashem, then we wouldn't need the Torah. There wouldn't be a need for another revelation of God. Since God in his infinite wisdom arranged for the apocalyptic covenantal meeting with man, we may conclude that the message of the heavens is at best an equivocal one. Right? The message of nature, the message of the heavens, it's not enough. There has to be something more. We're going to skip the next paragraph just to save time. To the last paragraph, I have it from Lonely Man of Faith, but I do encourage you to read this middle paragraph on your own time. The Rav concludes, therefore, the man of faith, in order to redeem himself from his loneliness and misery, must meet God at a personal covenantal level, where he can be near him and feel free in his presence. The heavens is not enough, and there has to be a covenantal, that's the Torah, that is a personal relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Abraham, the knight of faith, according to our tradition, searched and discovered God in the starlit heavens of Mesopotamia. Right, we all know the Midrashim. Avram looked up to the stars and he saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu running this world. Yet he felt an intense loneliness and could not find solace in the silent companionship of God, whose image was reflected in the boundless stretches of the cosmos. He didn't have companionship with God. He found Hashem. Hashem revealed himself through the cosmos, but there wasn't companionship. Only when he met God on earth as a father, brother, and friend. Right, the relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu was a relationship of father, brother, and friend. Not only along the enchanted astral routes did he feel redeemed. Right, so Rabbi Pinchas Friedman spoke about these two methods of connecting to Hashem, the Mamaros and the Dibros, and he said that the Mamaros, there's a danger, you might get stuck, and therefore you need the Dibros. I think what the Rav is saying here is not just that there's the Mamaros and the Dibros, and you might get stuck, it's dangerous to connect to Hashem through the Mamaros, but it's not enough to connect to Hashem through the Mamaros. You need more in your relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You need to take it a little bit further. So I want to get into this for now. It's a few more sources about why it is that our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu is a deeper, more personal relationship when it comes through Torah as opposed to nature. And the way in which the sources do this is they compare the words Amira and Dibor. What is the difference between Amira and Dibor? When we say someone who Amar and who Diber, what do the two words connote? And if we understand what the two words connote, we can understand a little bit more why there's a difference. We'll skip source 7. We'll go to source 8, which is the Sfas Emes. And I mentioned before that the Sfas Emes is the grandson of the Chiddush Arim, so he's quoting his grandfather. And he points out, Amru Chazal, Kol Nevi'im Nis Navu Beko Amar Hashem, Mosif Aleya Moshe Bezeh HaDavar. Okay, so Chazal say that when it came to the Nevuah of all the other Nevi'im, the phrase Ko Amar Hashem was used. And when it comes to the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu, the phrase Bezeh HaDavar is used. Okay, so we already see the connection right here. He's connecting, he's saying, Davar, Bezeh HaDavar, that's Dibros, that's Moshe Rabbeinu, versus Ko Amar Hashem is the Ma'amaros. There's a difference, right? And that's what he says. Inyan Hefrish Zeh, Kemo HaChilik Bein Asar Ma'amaros HaSaras HaDibros. This difference in the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Nevuah of Shaar Nevi'im is the same difference in the Nevuah of the Dibros and the Nevuah of the revelation of the Dibros and the revelation of the Ma'amaros. But what's the difference? So he says, "Ki maimar hu rak lechutz, lohodia ratzon yehi rakia yehi ma'oros." He says, "Maimar is lechutz; it's external, it's chitzoni, it's lechutz. V'dibor hu pnimius etzim hadibor. Dibor is pnimius." Okay, the way I would describe it, if I had to bring it into even another mashal, is. You go to the store and you're buying your groceries and you're checking out and there's a nice man behind the counter and, oh, hi, how was your day? Good, nice, okay, have a nice day, how are your kids, whatever, you know, thank you very much, and you leave, okay? That's okay. And another form of conversation is you're sitting at dinner, one-on-one with your best friend, and he's in a different yeshiva. And you said, how's yeshiva going? Like, really, tell me, like, how, and you know, it's tough, because I'm having trouble with this issue and that issue. Oh, maybe I could help you. Right? That's the way I would put it in a muscle, the difference between Amira and Dibor. Okay, so he says, Amira is rak lachutz. It's external, okay, yeah, I'm having a nice day, you know. It's like, almost like, you know, how's your day? You, like, almost, like, are forced to say, like, good, how you doing? Good, like no one, like, really gives, like, the right, but, Dibor who pnimius etzema dibor, so dibor is pnimius. So he says that's the chiluk between right Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was on a deeper level, and bringing it back to where we started, the asaras ha-mamaros, the revelation of God through nature, is one type of revelation of God. But to have a deeper revelation of God, a deeper conversation with God, that's the asaras ha-dibros. That's Torah. You learn Torah, Hashem's telling you on a deeper level what he's thinking, what he's feeling. That's the function of Torah. Rav Huttner, in the next piece, I think he explains this even on a more, you know, he explains this even more, and I had the schus to learn this week with our it was last week already with Matthew. So thank you for that. Okay? So Rav Huttner in Pesach. And he's explaining the whole function of the Agada, but I just took the snippet of what we need. Basar Ma'amaros Nivra Olam Saras Dibros Nisna Torah. Okay, that much we know. Ma'amaros is Briyas Olam, and Torah is Dibros. Amira v'Dibor Shemos Nifradim Heim. He says that Amira and Dibor are two different adjectives, two different are nouns there actually, right? Omnon Hevdel Shebineim Gorim Shamira Tisyachid LeBriyas Olam v'Dibor Tisyachid LeMatan Torah. And we use the word Amira to describe Briyas HaOlam, and we use the word Dibor to describe the revelation of the Torah. Hevdil Zu Mahu. We'll do the Rav Huttner, we'll do Source 10, and then we'll probably save the rest for later. Just to give you a heads up. Okay, so what's the difference between Amira and Dibor? Nisbar Lan B'maimar Hakodem ki yitzias mitzrayim haschalas ha temura b'mahalich peulas hachesed. Rav Huttner says we have to understand that yitzias mitzrayim was the turning point in the way in which Hakadosh Baruch Hu provided to this world. Hashem's chesed to this world. And Hashem is constantly mechadish b'chol yom b'tuvo. And Hashem is giving life force and sustaining the world and giving us life and giving us everything we need and giving us breath. Each and every second, he's providing, that's chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there were, before Matan Torah, the chesed worked one way, and after Matan Torah, the chesed works another way. Asher ad shas yisiyas mitzrayim, haita pe'ulasa shel midas ha-chesed, al pi ha-mahalik shel chesed vitor, u'mi'yitzias mitzrayim ve'ilach hisgir u'gilay pe'ula shel midas ha-chesed, al pi ha-mahalik shel chesed mishpat. The phrases Rav Huttner uses to describe it is chesed vitur and chesed mishpat. Okay, what's a vatrin? A vatrin is a pushover. Okay? And mishpat, we know, is din. So there are two ways you could give chesed to someone. And when I was learning with Matthew this week, we said a mashal. You have a yeshiva that they're kulo chesed to the people that are in the yeshiva, and they want to provide to them and help them grow and give them Torah, give them a roof over their head, give them food, whatever it is, right? Chesed. The rabbeim are there, they're smiling at the kid. But maybe there are two different mahalchim of yeshivas. There's a chesed vitur mahalach and there's a chesed mishpat mahalach. Or maybe some yeshivas, it's like the first half of the year versus the second half of the year. Right? You have that mahalach of chesed vitur. It's like, I'm going to provide for you and like, you know, do whatever you want. I don't care. I'm going to be a pushover. Chesed vitur, chesed, you know, just like no expectations from you. Like, I'm going to just provide. But sometimes the yeshiva might say, like, no, like, we got rules, and if you don't live up to the expectations, we can't provide, you're gone. We're not going to provide to you. We're not going to provide to you Torah. We're not going to provide to you a roof over your head. So maybe that's a way to help us understand these two, chesed vitur versus chesed mishpat. So he says that Yetzias Mitzrayim and Matan Torah was the change between chesed vitur, HaKadosh Baruch Hu almost being like a pushover, Kav Yochel, and chesed mishpat. Hashem saying, no, like, there are requirements. V'hinei pu'ulas hashpasa chasadim k'shi ba b'derech chesed vitor in hu kololas b'kirva et ha'ma'amat l'po'al ha'makabel sh'ya ro'i v'hogom n'kras hashpasa chasadim. When you do chesed vitor, it doesn't matter if the makabel is ro'i or not to receive the chesed. You just give, no matter if he's zocha ro'i to it or not. D'hari b'mahalich shal chesed vitor in ericho shal makabe tovus makom klal. The erech, the value, the significance of the makabel doesn't matter. Chesed vitor means I don't care what the makabel is. I don't care if he's living up to his duties, living up to his requirements. I don't care. I'm going to give. Shiny pulasa chasadim shibavadar chesed mishpa. But chesed mishpa is something different. Shemitoch sheikar magamasa he lahanik. Since the whole goal is to only give someone that deserves it, that made himself a kli to be mekabel it, so the mashpia is gonna create ways in which the mekabel can be zocha to it. He's gonna say like, you know, we'll provide to you food as long as you make it to minyan, as long as you come to shir. That, you know, and then you're zocha to it. Then you deserve it. Then you that's chesed mishpat, that you began to deserve your chesed. The kan hu omer ha'hevdel bein shem amira shenisyachid lebrias olamos ubein shem dibor shenisyachid lematan Torah. He says this will help us understand the difference between amira and dibor. Amira, as we said, is brias ha'olam aseres ma'amaros, and dibor is Matan Torah Aseres HaDibros. The lo nisfarish lanu the dibor hu lashon kashiv, amira hu lashon racha. Chazal tell us that dibor is lashon kasha, it's a hard way of speaking, and amira is lashon racha, it's a soft way of speaking. And Rav Huttner continues and he says, kasha and racha, it doesn't have to do with like, if you speak very loud or if you speak very quiet, that's not what we mean by kashav raka. We're talking about a more fundamental chiluk between these two forms of speech. And he also says it doesn't have to do with the words you use. Like oh, if you say, I'm very, very, like all of a sudden it's lashon kashav. That's not what it's talking about. As in, you could say the exact same words, right? In the mashal of the yeshiva, you have the Rebbe, he walks into the dorms and he says, you know, shir is in 5 minutes. That could mean two things. He could be doing chesed vitor right now, saying like, "Shir's in 5 minutes. You come. You don't have to come. Whatever. I'm happy with you. I love you. I'll smile at you." Or sometimes when the Rebbe's coming in saying "Shir's in 5 minutes," he's saying, "You know, get the heck out of the dorms and go to the shir because this is chesed mishpat right now, and I'm coming in. I'm helping you. I want you to be zolka. I'm doing chesed mishpat, but it's chesed mishpat." So it's not really so much what you say, because in this scenario, the Rebbe's saying the exact same thing, and he's saying it in the same tone and the same voice. But it's almost the inner intention of how you're speaking, the premise of how you're speaking is different in Amira and Dibor. Right? Vahare, skipping down to like 5 lines from the bottom. But Amira's Davar Perusho Manhi. V'chein B'Tehillim But Aramis, davar means manhig. The word davar means to help be manhig someone. The chinu b'tehillim yidber amim tachtav, that the nation should fall. There should be control of the nations. It's dibor means you're trying to control. You're trying to get them to do something. V'al kein mechavin shepulas hashpas chasadim shal mas bereishis ad matan toru b'tor chesed vitor. Shein ba hishtadlus lahadri chesed mekalo. It didn't matter what the Makabal did until Matan Torah. Lachin habitum shal bereishis b'shem ma'amaros yikru. The chesed of bereishis of the ma'amaros is ma'amarim. It doesn't, you know, whatever happened, you do, you don't. Hashem is giving to you. Ulu umazos habituim shal Matan Torah dibros heim. They're dibros. It's chesed mishpat, and you're trying to get the mekabel to be zoche. Kimi matan Torah ve'elech pa'olas hashvas hachasadim bahi b'tor chesed mishpat asher ikar magamasa he hadachas hamekabel yos roi lekabalas hachasadim b'dinim mishpat. You want the mekabel to be roi, to deserving of the chesed, to earn the chesed, to be worthy of the chesed. That's the difference, says Rav Huner, between the word amira and dibor. Whether you're trying to do chesed mishpat or chesed vitor. I think this also helps us understand a little bit more what we saw in the previous source, on the Sfas Emes, that the ma'amaros, the dibros, are a little bit more pnimi. There's more to it. It's an inner thought of speech. Because when you sit with your friend and you're telling him about you're actually like trying to get something out of that conversation. You want to tell him how you really feel, and you want to hear how he feels, and you want to hear his advice. There's movement going on in that conversation. There's expectation, right? When you speak to the guy behind the cash registers at the Makolet, like it. There's nothing happening there. There's nothing. So that's what Rav Huner says. I think this helps us understand a little bit more why the Sfas Emes said that ma'amaros is chitzoni, because there's nothing happening, as opposed to dibros, which is pnimi. There's more going on. And I think we also can understand this on a very simplistic level, that our relationship with the Kaddish Baruch Hu is enhanced. And any relationship is enhanced when there's expectations. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us to do something. There are things that we have to do in this world, and that's the ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is being expressed in the Torah, and that enhances the relationship. We'll end with just one more source. Not end, because the second... I'm telling you, next week, Bezer Hashem will do the second piece from it. It just blows this thing open. It's like, if you followed until now, like once we bring Shabbos into the picture, it's like this piece explodes. Okay? But 10, source 10, to just finish up for tonight, source from the Shem Yishmo, I think he expresses this difference in a very beautiful way. V'nira dihine ba'asaris ma'amaros nivra sa'olam ulam umasan nisa li'Yisrael asaris ha'dibros. So we have the asaris ha'ma'amaros and asaris ha'dibros, as we've been discussing until now. U'betam shina ha'lushanos shalo nikra ma'amaros ve'elu dibros. So why is the world created with Amira and the Torah given with Dibor? So higin avi admor zecher tzadik lebracha, the chidush arim, my father, which was really his grandfather, but for some reason I don't know, we have to look into it, right? De maimer shayach afilu beli chibor l'shomea ha-maimer aval dibor hu chibor bein ha-medaber l'ha-shomea. He says Amira connotes a connection between the speaker and the listener. And Amira connotes no connection, and Dibor connotes that there's a connection between the speaker and the listener. And he brings a proof for this, a beautiful proof. V'alkein yesh b'lashon lomar ruven diber im Shimon. Hainu shadiber chaverim kohoras milas im. Aval ein b'lashon lomar ruven amar im Shimon, ela amar l'Shimon, o el Shimon. Right, a beautiful proof to really highlight this difference. When it comes to Dibor, we say Ruvain Diber Im Shimon. He spoke with Shimon. With Im, there's a connection. You feel that bond in those words. Ruvain Diber Im Shimon. But do you say Ruvain Amar Im Shimon? No such phrase in Hebrew. And I don't know Hebrew so well, I'm telling you, no such phrase in Hebrew. Ruvain Amar Im Shimon. What do you say? Ruvain Amar Li Shimon. Ruvain Amar El Shimon. Right? That's what you say. Lishimon, El Shimon. There's no im. There's no connection. He said to Shimon. He spoke at him, right? He didn't speak with him. He spoke at him. That's the difference. So I think the Shem Shmuel just really brings home this idea that when you focus on the on Dibros, on Dibor, Matan Torah, there's just that deep. Remember the Rav when he described the cosmos? He described how it's not a personal message. This brings it home that the personal relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu has to come and could only come through the Torah. That's Dibros, that as opposed to Ma'amaros. That's the Pnimius Haratzon, said the Shem Yishmael. Right, so we'll hold it here, but it's something to think about that when we're learning Torah, and hopefully we'll find some time next week to go weiter, and hopefully you'll be able to make it, and we'll figure out how this plays into Shabbos, which blows your mind. Okay, right? Shabbos is Dibor, and the Yemei Chol is Amir, and it's crazy, fine. But right now, just something to think about if we want to make it a little bit Lamaisa, right? Is when we're learning to Torah to appreciate that we're first of all when we're looking at nature to realize it's Amira. It's don't belittle Amira. Amira is a revelation of God. You look at a tree, you look at the sunset. It's a revelation of God in this world. Basar Mamaros Nivra Olam. But to take it one step further and a little bit deeper, when you learn Torah, to realize it's Dibor, it's speech im HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the ultimate chibor that we could have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem should bless us to learn a lot of Torah and to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amen. Amen. Thank you.